Ring of the clasp coming undone lands on my ears, and I groan. She's freeing her breasts from their confines. My body hums with anticipation. I lick my lips as I watch every move she makes. Now her hands slide up to her shoulders, and she performs something that looks a lot like circus acrobatics to me, but it's one of those things girls can do blindfolded. She tugs one slim bra strap down her right arm and off. The other slides down her left arm. Then she slips her hands under her apron again and tells me to close my eyes. Dutifully, I oblige. 15 seconds later, she says, "Open them." When I do, the white tank is pooled on the floor and she holds up a lacy white bra, letting it dangle from her index finger. The apron top still covers her. "Is this what you wanted?" That is exactly what I wanted. I take the bra, toss it into the other room, and grab her hips. I lift her up on the counter and drink in the view. Skirt, heels, and apron. Her breasts are barely covered, and for a man obsessed with breasts, you'd think I'd be fondling them right now. But I'm also not 12. I want to savor the view. I want to admire my girl. I want to experience every fucking glorious second of this night, imprint it all on my brain, feed every memory cell I have. I reach around her neck and tug at the apron tie. Her breath catches and she trembles. A shudder runs through her body. It gives me pause. "You okay?" I ask, because I can't not. "Are you cold?"
"No, I'm good. Just very, very good," she says, tipping up her chin.
Her eyes meet mine, and in a flash I see so much vulnerability, so much longing in them, it nearly knocks me to my knees. It almost makes me want to spill my whole heart to her, to tell her what I realized at Max's garage. But if there's a recipe for killing a friendship, that's it, right there. When you add love to the mix, when you openly declare it, you might as well say goodbye to the friendship. We can be friends and we can have benefits, but anything more is playing with fire. I know this, and she surely does too. Tonight, we're lovers. That's what I zone in on as I undo the apron tie. The knot loosens. The straps slide. The fabric ties fall down her chest. Dear God, she's gorgeous. Her breasts are as magnificent as I imagined. Soft, creamy, gorgeous globes with rosy nipples tipped up. I bend to her chest, draw one delicious peek into my mouth, and suck.
"Oh, God," she moans,
and her hands grab the back of my head, clutching me tight. Just when I think a moment can't be more perfect, it proves me wrong. This is beyond compare. I cup the other breast in my left hand, squeezing, then pinching her nipple as I suck. A throaty groan meets my ears, then an anguished, "Please," chased by a breathy, "God, that's so good." Yes, it's so good. It's so fucking good. It's absolutely fucking amazingly exquisite to have my face buried between Josie's tits. I could spend the next day or week or month here. In fact, when Mercy comes looking for me because I missed my next several shifts, they'll find me squirreled away in the land of absolute bliss. Here. I make no apologies for my obsession. I don't consider this a guilty pleasure either, because I don't feel a shred of guilt about something that drives both of us crazy. Judging from the way her fingers are locked around my skull, Josie loves the attention I'm lavishing on her chest as much as I love giving it. Her breath comes fast, and her hips wriggle on the counter as I lick and suck and kiss her breasts. She moans and sighs and murmurs. At some point, maybe in the next century, I wrestle myself away and meet her gaze. I don't let go of these beauties, though. I fondle them as I look at her, all flushed and sexy. "Jesus Christ, Josie," I say, just in awe of her, everything. How she looks at me, how her lips fall open, how her eyes are guileless, the way she inches closer to me. I'm in love with... I catch myself before I screw things up with her. "Your tits, they're fucking perfect.
I hope you don't mind my adoration of them. I flash her a lopsided grin. She laughs.
I don't mind it at all, and I'll give you free rein with them if you do something for me.
Name it. She brings her hand to my chin, pulls me close, and then dusts kisses along my jawline that drive me insane. My dick is knocking on the door of my jeans, begging to be free. She finds my ear and whispers,
I'm dying for you to go down on me, but I want you to fuck me more.
I groan. That's so fucking sexy, what you just said.
Is that a yes?
I adopt a frown.
Why can't I have both?
She runs her finger over my bottom lip.
You can, but right now, she says, wriggling closer, I need you inside me.
And that's it. Done. Ready. The woman is asked, and the woman shall receive. I push up her skirt to her waist, shaking my head. I should be devouring your pussy right now. You distracted me with your perfect tits, so I had no time to go down on you. And then, what do you do to me? You ask me to fuck you, which is basically the hottest thing in the entire universe. She laughs.
I like asking for what I want. It turns me on.
I slide my hands under her skirt. I like it too, knowing what you want. And I love when you ask. Though I can also tell. My eyes roam to her legs, to that decadent land at the apex of her thighs. She's soaked. Her panties are so wet, it's nearly criminal. And I'm a cocky bastard because pride surges in me. I did this. I got her this turned on. I love that she's so aroused from the way we kiss and touch and grope that she's soaked through. I drag a finger across the wet panel and she shudders against me. As I slide off her panties, she grabs the hem of my t-shirt and yanks it over my head. Then her hands are on my jeans, tugging at the button. Damn, woman.
I want you, she says firmly. I want you now.
Trust me, baby, you're going to have me, and I'm going to make it so fucking good for you, but first we need this. I dip my hand to my back pocket, grab my wallet, and take out a condom. Hope you don't think I'm a cheapskate, but I got it at work. She laughs.
One of the perks of working at a hospital.
She wraps her arms around my neck and tugs me close. Her eyes are intense.
Say you got it today.
I absolutely fucking did, I whisper, because all day long I've been thinking about how much I want to fuck you.
Me too, so much.
Her hands go lower and she pushes my jeans over my ass, freeing my dick. Put it on me, baby. I know you want to.
Oh God, I do, she says, panting hard. I want to touch you so badly.
I'm not sure how I knew she'd be game to wrap me up, but I just did. I'm learning her quickly, figuring her out. I open the condom wrapper and hand it to her. As she takes it out, I grab my cock in my hand and rub. It's like an injection of lust straight into Josie.
Oh, God,
she moans, her pitch rising as she stares at me.
Stop. You're making me crazy.
Then it's working. Because crazy is how I want her, insane with lust, and I don't stop. I fist my hand around my dick and stroke down to the head, squeezing. Her breath catches, and she groans. Her mouth falls open. She watches me with wild abandon. Already I'm thinking of all the things I want to do with her, all the ways I want to fuck her, all the pleasure I want to give her. She bites the corner of her lip as she removes the condom, then she wraps a hand around my dick and joins in. The desperation in her eyes is replaced by excitement, by some kind of thrill as she holds my cock and I let go.
Watch me, she says.
And I do, staring at her pretty hands as she slides the protection over my cock, pinching the tip of the latex, making sure it's perfect. And now I'm the one on fire. Or maybe we both are. I grab her hips, pull her to the edge of the counter, and rub the tip against her sweet, slippery pussy. She moans my name. It sounds like a dirty, filthy word from her lips. She says it like it has five syllables, and she wants to be fucked by every single one. I push in.
Holy fuck,
I groan, because she feels so good.
I know, she murmurs, and I fucking love that we're on the same page.
Her wetness welcomes me, and it is paradise inside Josie. She's snug, hot, and wet, and she clenches tightly around me as I fill her. Her hands slide up my chest, and she grips my shoulders. I brace one hand on the counter, the other on her hip as I nestle deep inside her. I thrust, and she cries out. I groan as I move inside her, taking my time at first. Then I fuck her on the kitchen counter, because I can't wait. Sure, I can wait to go down on her. Yes, I can wait to carry her to the bedroom. I can even wait for dinner, but I can't wait for the breathtaking, phenomenal feeling of sliding in and out of this woman. This gorgeous, wonderful, sensual, bold woman. This sexual creature who wants me the same damn way I want her. Her hands curl tightly over my shoulders, and she grinds against me. For a while, we're nothing but murmurs and sighs, moans and groans, and the slap of flesh against flesh. We become a carnal thing, a man and a woman hungry with desire, each consuming the other. Then she grabs my face, grips me tight, and parts her lips.
Take me there, she says,
her voice smoky and sexy, and pure vulnerability, too, as if she spoke in her greatest, deepest wish. I push in deeper, reaching the edge of her, then I stop and stare into her eyes. I see everything that seemingly struck me out of the blue, but now I'm sure has been there all along if I'd stopped to notice. She's the woman for me. She's the one I want. I'm fucking my friend. I'm screwing my roommate. And more than that, I'm also making love to the woman I'm falling in love with. But the more I think about the insanity and foolishness of me right now, the more I risk telling her everything. The more I'll ruin us. Besides, right now I have one job, to take her there. I will, baby, I will, I say, then thread my fingers in her hair and bring my mouth to her ear as I fuck her hard and deep. She hooks her legs around my ass and pulls me tighter. I bury myself in her, fucking and thrusting, until she screams so loudly that I know she's on the cusp. Then she tells me, because that's what she does. She's an announcer. I'm so close. Keep fucking, just like that. Like I'd stop. She rocks up into me as if she's finding the perfect friction on my shaft, and soon she discovers it. She uncovers her pleasure, and an orgasm seems to blast through her. She trembles from head to toe. She shudders as she squeezes her eyes shut.
I'm coming, she whispers in the faintest, most desperate whisper.
Then a louder one.
Oh, God, I'm coming.
Then an ear-splitting shout that rattles loose my own climax. It seizes me, crashing into me with the force of a storm, ripping through my body as I fuck her through my release, grunting her name, groaning barely coherent words. And as pleasure keeps rolling through me, I have to bite my tongue so I don't say anything more. So I don't tell her it's never been this good. And it's not just a scientific kind of good, it's a whole new level. One I fear I'm already becoming dangerously addicted to. But I don't want to say that out loud yet, or ever. If I do, I could lose her, and that's a risk I just won't take. Instead, we eat pizza. Chapter 22. I fold a slice and take another mouth-watering bite. After I chew, I roll my eyes in absolute appreciation of Josie's talents. I was wrong all the other times. This is now the best thing you've ever made. She laughs.
You said it's what you missed most in Africa.
Oh, I definitely missed pizza with a ferocity.
Say the word and I'll make you a cherry pie, too, she says.
When I give her a naughty wink, she holds up a hand.
I meant the kind with fruit in it.
You do know there's no way for pie to sound anything but dirty. We're parked on the couch, half-dressed, after, no hyperbole, the best sex of my life. She fastened the apron again and wears the cherry-patterned wrap and heels. She said she thought I'd get a kick out of her post-sex outfit. She was right. As for me, I'm in jeans. I do know that, she says, then stretches across the couch to ruffle my hair. The gesture both warms my heart and makes me think. Josie's always been a toucher, so it's not out of place, but it feels so couple-y, so boyfriend-girlfriend. There's a part of me that desperately wants that with her, that wants to just crack open my heart and tell her how I feel. Because inside, I'm on cloud nine. I'm a happy motherfucker, just kicking back, eating pizza with the best girl I know. Our physical connection is mind-bogglingly good. We get along like two peas in a pod. She's my best friend forever. Hell, we're about to play a game of Scrabble before we go for round two. But there's the rub. Because all this floating on a cloud of complete and utter dirty, sexy, fantastic happiness is just smoke and mirrors. It's a trick, designed flawlessly by the human body. Why, oh fucking why, does falling for someone have to be such a rush, such a high? But I know the answer. There's a reason for the release of those endorphins. Chemicals are in our system, so falling in love will make us procreate. This rampant contentment swirling inside me is all just basic survival of the species shit. It's an illusion of brain chemistry. And as long as I keep my head on straight, I can't be fooled by risky feelings. Even though a part of me wants to throw caution to the wind, to listen to this hammering in my chest, to just say, hey, it's you and me, let's defy the odds. Fucking eating pizza and playing Scrabble. Yeah, there's no need for anything more. Until Josie clears her throat. So, and that one word sucks up all the oxygen in the room. All the happy, floaty, let's get drunk and screw vibe vanishes. It evaporates into the night. In one syllable, I know it's time to talk. Though Josie and I can chat about anything, whatever comes after the so is the one thing I'm not ready to discuss. Because what's happening with us is fraught with too many complications. Screwing your roommate is like operating on a kidney, only you can't do it without harming a main artery. Too many systems are linked together. The home, the friendship, the sex, the rent. Even the utilities are part of our sex life. Naturally, my next step is to try to defuse the bomb. By so, you mean the two-letter Scrabble word SO or the three-letter one that's an action performed by a seamstress. She laughs, shakes her head, and sets her hand on my thigh. Chase, she says, and her tone is friendly but serious at the same damn time. Yeah? We need to talk about what's going on with us. Like a steel rod has been implanted in my spine, I straighten and say roughly, okay. Why does dread flood me at the mere prospect of this conversation? Oh, right. Because the last woman I felt this way for had an affair while we were together. Ergo, relationships and me don't get along well. I opened my heart, and it's stomped on. Add in the little, tiny, minuscule fact that falling for your friend means you're likely to lose that friend when the relationship goes belly up, and all I want to do is imitate a monk. Well, just the vow of silence part, not the other vows. You know how everything blends together for me? She asks. Josie in a mixer, I answer. A small smile is her response. And this, she points from her to me, has the potential to make one big milkshake of emotions. The look in her eyes is fierce and resolute. I know myself. You know me too. You've seen how emotions all spill over. I don't try to compartmentalize. I'm no good at it. It's all here, she says, tapping her chest. And with you and me, I can see this becoming the biggest milkshake of all. We're friends, we're roommates, and now we're lovers. I can't keep all the ingredients separated. Do you see what I mean? For the barest sliver of a second, I imagine we're going to skip the hard part. She'll say she's fallen for me too, and let's just live like this forever and ever without a thing going wrong. Do you mean you like milkshakes? I ask carefully, because I'm not sure if this is her preamble to telling me she's had the same goddamn epiphany I have, and that we'll be the first pair of friends in the history of the universe not to fuck up the transition to the next ship, the one that goes with relation. There's a first time for everything, right? She laughs lightly. I do like milkshakes, Chase, she says, and runs her fingers down my chest. But you can't have them for every meal. The milkshake diet is completely physician-approved, I deadpan. But she's not in the mood to tease or to eat sweets all day long, evidently. What I mean is, she says, I want us to be careful. I want us to have an understanding. I don't want to get my heart broken, and I don't want to hurt you, and most of all, I don't want to ruin our friendship. And that's why I kept my mouth closed in the first place, and why the zipper on it will stay shut. Her words only cement the need for me to compartmentalize, even if she can't, to keep love on one side and sex on the other. Separate drawers, I say with a nod. I mime opening a bureau. We need to keep this sex thing in a separate drawer, then I close it, and the friendship in another. If we don't, we run the very real risk of losing the friendship. She flashes a brief smile. Yes. Don't you think that's the best way for us to stay in each other's lives? I nod because of course I've got to make sure she knows I'm not going to screw this up. I need her to know I can do as asked. And you need me to help you keep the fact that I can make you come ridiculously hard in one drawer and that I pay half the rent check in another? And our awesome Scrabble teamwork in one more, please, she says, laughing. Then her chuckles quiet down. It's not easy for me to keep everything on opposite sides. You have to know I'm completely and utterly turned on by you, that you absolutely get bonus points for being great in bed, and you're my dearest friend, and I think you're amazing. I can't help but grin at the compliments. And I also can't bear the thought of losing you. A life without Josie sounds like a living hell. I don't want to lose you either. That's why I need you to be the tough one. You need to be the doctor who rips off the Band-Aid eventually, she says with a rueful smile. Take advantage of the MD, why don't you? I grumble jokingly. But she's serious. I don't want to be Adele. I don't want to be gone from your life. Her voice breaks, and this girl, God, she wears her emotions on her sleeve. She lets them out in the open for me to see. She's fearless and bold, not just in bed, but right here as she lays her heart on the line. There's no tiptoeing around this topic, no doorbell ringing in the middle of a tough conversation, truncating it. Nope. We're not avoiding the issue. We're diving into the deep end as Josie opens her heart to me even more. Everything she does makes me want her in every way. That's why I think this is the only way to do this, she adds. I swallow tightly, remembering the emptiness I felt when Adele moved on. I force myself to recall the hurt of losing someone I cared deeply for. Sure, the lonely nights sucked, but what ached more was the absence of a person I relied on. My friend. I can't stand the thought of not being friends with you. We can't let that happen. I don't want that to happen either, she says, her tone so earnest it hooks right into my chest. But I also don't want to get fooled again like I did with Damien. I give her a hard stare. I'm not Damien. That guy surpassed acceptable levels of douchery by 1,000,000%. I know, but it still hurt. I learned my lesson with him, and I want us to be completely clear from the get-go about what this can and can't be. We have to draw lines. We need to promise that whatever this sex thing is, we go back to being friends when we're done. Fine, I say, because that's what I want, to keep her. We just have to accept that we have crazy chemistry from living together, right? I nod. Maybe I even punctuate it with a wag of my tongue. She laughs. And we need to get that out of our system, right? I remind myself that compartmentalization is my special skill. I've honed it over the years. I've made it a goddamn practice. I take care of the body, and others handle the heart and mind. For once, Josie wants me to lean on my top talent, my ability to separate the physical from the emotional. She wants me to take the best possible care of her orgasms, then send her on her way with regular friendship checkups. This ought to be easy. This ought to be easy as pie. Josie, we are on the same page, I say, squaring my shoulders and giving her my best show of confidence. She doesn't need to know I'm stupidly falling for her. I'll apply the brakes and stop myself from falling further. This thing between us won't need to be more than a sweet little tryst with my sexy, gorgeous, daring, wild roommate. All those strange sensations swarming my chest? Done. I'm giving them the boot, tossing them out with the trash. See you later, falling in love. Josie breathes a sigh of relief. I'm so glad you feel the same way. I'd be so sad if you were out of my life. I laugh and cup her cheek. I'm not going anywhere. I'd never do anything to risk losing you. You're not just my friend. I hate to break it to Wyatt, but you're my best friend. You're mine too, she beams. It'll be our secret, like Scotland's burning. Look out, she sings, and I join in our horrible duet. When we're done massacring the song, I hold out a fist for knocking, keeping it all on the level. We're roomies with benefits until we get it out of our system. She knocks back, and we're all good now. Only, I can't stop. I need to sell this to the judge and jury. I need to be thoroughly convincing so she doesn't know how close I was to spilling my guts. And you should totally date, I add, all nonchalant. She arches an eyebrow. I'm not going to date while we're screwing. But when we're done, I add, like the magnanimous, generous, wonderful friend I am, who evidently likes to state the patently obvious. Okay, she says hesitantly. When we're out of each other's systems, I add, and plaster on a smile, reminding her that we will be over eventually. We are a temporary fling. There's no point dwelling on how I felt earlier. There's no point at all. Not even when we screw again that night on the couch. Not even when she wraps her arms around me and whispers my name. Not even when she tells me how good it is. Nope. I don't let any of that affect me. Not at all. Not in the least. I'm steel. Even when she falls asleep in my arms again, curling up next to me and smelling like her and like me and like the best sex I've ever known. Because it was more than just sex. Only, it can't be. Chapter 23. From the pages of Josie's recipe book. Josie's chocolate, oh no, you didn't do that milkshake recipe. Ingredients. Chocolate ice cream. Ideally some variety that is incredibly decadent and delicious and will make you feel like you're falling, even though you're totally not, and you can't, and you won't. Milk. Milk is good for you. Milk makes for healthy bones. This recipe is clearly a health food. Some ice to numb your heart. Dump all ingredients in a blender and blend on high until it's all one big milkshake of feelings and emotions and sex and heartache and friendship and possibilities. Then, down the hatch. Now, the next part of the recipe is the most essential. Once you've consumed the milkshake of your mixed up, stirred up, fused and confused feelings, brush your hands together, slap on a smile, and don't ever blend them again. Eat the ice cream separately, just like you're going to have that man. That's all you can do to protect your heart. That's the only way to have him. Anything more, and you might lose the best friend you've ever had. Chapter 24. A few days later, after I treat a runner who collapsed from dehydration during his morning run in Central Park, the charge nurse marches over to me, a clipboard in hand. Dr. Summers, you're wanted, Sandy barks, her drill sergeant voice making me stand at attention. I'm her soldier. What have we got? I expect her to rattle off a litany of incoming trauma. Instead, she points her thumb in the direction of the lobby. Pretty brunette in the waiting room asking for you. My ears perk. My dick springs to attention. My heart leaps. Josie has stopped by. Maybe she brought me lunch. My stomach growls. Pavlovian organ. Come to think of it, my cock is too, judging from the speed of its response to the words, pretty brunette. Full-on salute in my scrubs. Nice work, dick. It's no surprise, though, since the last few nights with Josie have been mind-blowing, and it's not only my mind that's been blown. But I haven't just been on the receiving end of the pleasure. Like Josie, I'm a taker, and I'm also a giver. I've doled out multiple orgasms and exponents of orgasms, too, administered in all sorts of ways. She's voracious, and I've satisfied her appetite each and every time, including with my tongue. When I first went down on her, once wasn't enough for either of us. I gave her a double like that, and she came even harder the second time. The next morning, I found a bakery bag on the living room table with two chocolate chip cookies in it and a note that said, "Good things come in pairs." A day later, after a marathon session testing the sturdiness of our furniture, she left me a brownie, and the card attached read, "I think you burned this off last night. By the way, I'm super impressed with how sturdy our table is, not to mention the wall. I can't wait to see why she's here at noon." I thank Sandy, then take off, striding through the corridor and past the nurse's desk. I push on the big swinging doors that lead to the waiting room. A 20-something dude in a hoodie hunches over in a chair, hacking. A muscular mom in yoga pants clutches a toddler in her arms. The kid's face is flushed, and he's shivering. Fever, I suspect. A handful of others wait, too, staring at phones or the TV hanging on the wall. We pride ourselves at Mercy on some of the shortest waits in the ER world, and judging from the markedly uncrowded lobby, we're doing okay in that pursuit. But that also means it's easy to see Josie's not here. I deflate. Yes, all the parts that were inflated. "Hey, Dr. Summers." I turn in the direction of a most decidedly masculine voice. The angular face is familiar. Sharp nose, kind eyes, blonde hair. The light switches on. I smile and point at the guy. Aquaman. The man whose forehead doubled as a parking lot for a sex souvenir walks to me and extends a hand. He wears a sharp white dress shirt and expensive slacks. Funny, I didn't peg him for a wealthy businessman when he was in his Aquaman threads, but his duds today, from the cufflinks to the silk of his shirt, make it clear this man is rolling in it. You never know who likes to swing from the chandeliers. I shake his hand, then turn to the aforementioned pretty brunette by his side. "And the mermaid," I add, and she smiles and shakes my hand. A diamond ring sparkles on her finger. She's decked out in sharp clothes, too, with a full-on executive businesswoman look. "I'm Cassidy," she says. "Good to meet you, and good to see you again," I say to my former patient. "How's the chandelier abstinence program going?" He smiles. His girlfriend does, too, her cheeks turning red. "We took your advice," he tells me. "The kitchen table is indeed a fine alternative." "Excellent. And this," I say, pointing to his forehead, the tiniest of tiny scars is barely visible. "This looks good." "I know," he says with a wide grin. "You can barely tell it's there." His girlfriend sets a hand on his shoulder and gazes at him adoringly. "It's the perfect amount of rugged, sexy scar," she says sweetly, then dusts a kiss on his cheek. She turns to me. "And thank you, doctor. You really did an amazing job stitching up Kevin. You can hardly tell." "Excellent. That's my job, to make my work invisible." "Invisible man," Kevin says, like he just coined the moniker for a new superhero. He clears his throat. "We wanted to get you a little thank you gift for taking such good care of me, and for your suggestions. The table, but also another one you gave us. We took you up on it, and we hope you like it, too." My eyebrows rise in curiosity. Cassidy hands me a greeting card-size envelope. I slide my thumb under the flap and open it. Inside is a white business card, along with a gift certificate for a cooking class. Enticing appetizers and alluring desserts. I crack up, remembering our conversation on the exam table when I encouraged him to take a cooking class. "Well done, Aquaman. Well done." Kevin smiles widely and holds his hands out in a sheepish shrug. "Doctor's orders. Far be it for me to defy them." "You're a good man to follow them." "And listen," he begins, adopting a more serious tone. I tilt my head, waiting. His blue eyes meet mine. "There's something else I need to thank you for," I furrow my brow. What's that? But when a siren blares and the telltale sign of an incoming ambulance screeches outside, I say, sorry, but that's my cue to go. We say a quick goodbye, and as I rush back into the ER, I make a hasty pit stop at the waiting room desk. A bleach blonde with tired eyes looks up at me. Yes, doctor? I nod at the sick toddler. Make sure the kid gets seen as soon as you can, okay? She nods. I head back to the madhouse, taking a quick glance at the gift along the way. It's a cooking class for two. I stuff it in my pocket because we have a 50-year-old man suffering from a heart attack coming in. This time, we save a life. After a busy afternoon with no break in sight, I finish my shift and find a text from Wyatt. In your hood, grab a brew? I text back with a yes, and we settle on a nearby location, Spencer and Charlotte's bar, the lucky spot. Spencer's behind the counter this time, and he tips his chin in greeting as we stroll in. He pours some beers and places the glasses on the counter with a clang. So a doctor and a carpenter walk into a bar. I roll my eyes. Yeah, and what happens next? The bartender serves up a pale ale and a punchline. His green eyes study Wyatt and me. Yes? Because want to know what happens when you cross a surgeon with a carpenter? Oh, tell us, Wyatt says, mocking Spencer as he chimes in like an excited kid. I don't know, but I'd hate to see what they do with a saw, he says, then slaps his palm against the counter to punctuate his joke. I groan. Really? That's the best you can do? Wyatt asks. Spencer points at my handyman friend. I thought I nailed that one. Then he turns to me. But not as well as Chase would have. Killed it. Oh, ha, ha, ha. I try to limit my kills, I say, lifting my glass to take a drink. Spencer preens and blows on his nails. All right, assholes, that'll be $50. You're cheap tonight, Wyatt remarks, as he takes out his wallet and pretends to fish around for a big bill. Just kidding. Your money's no good here. For some reason, I let you two dickheads drink for free, he says, then heads to the end of his bar to take care of customers. Wyatt and I shoot the breeze for a few minutes as we work on our pale ales, and then he levels me with an intense stare. What's going on with Josie? I nearly spit out my drink. The brother of the woman I'm trying desperately not to fall harder for laughs and claps my back. Hard time holding your liquor? No, wrong pipe, I lie. Seriously, man, I've been thinking about our talk at Joe's Sticks. Is she doing okay on the whole dating scene? Yeah, she's doing great, I say, fibbing outrageously and hating it. Dating any jackasses, or have you weeded them all out? Briefly, my mind wanders back to the guy who made the gerbil comment, then to the idiot who tried to pry into her private life online, then to the one who started it all, Damien, by fooling my girl. My girl. I scrub a hand over my jaw. She's not mine. I can't think of her that way. I raise my glass. You'll be glad to know I've safely kept her away from any and all jackasses. I don't include myself in the jackass count. I'm not like those other guys. I'm not hurting Josie by sleeping with her like this. We have a temporary arrangement, an understanding, a roomies with benefits deal. If anything, I'm the one on the faster track to get hurt. Wyatt clinks his glass to mine. Good. I knew I could count on you to look out for my second favorite person in the universe. Then sheepishly, in a lowered voice, he adds, It's weird that I can't call Josie my favorite person anymore. She was for so long, for most of my life. But now that spot goes to the new Mrs. Hammer. Natalie's got to be first, man. Wyatt clasps my shoulder. Good thing I've got you to make sure Josie's in good hands. Yeah, I'll definitely make sure of that, I say, looking away. Because Josie is in my good hands, and I hope that's exactly where she's going to be in about an hour. We text on the way home. She's on the express train. I'm on the local line. We laugh, over text, about how we're heading home at the same time. Then, as I head up the steps of the station and onto the bustling sidewalk, Her latest text sends a burst of excitement through me because I'll see her soon. Josie, want to do something crazy and, I don't know, walk the last few blocks together?
Chase, you're a wild thing.
Josie, I am, especially when you learn what I have in store for you tonight. A whistle rips through the warm early evening air, the kind a construction worker makes at a sexy woman. A familiar voice shouts at me. Yo, hot stuff. When I stop and turn around, Josie walks toward me, a little sway in her hips, a flirty grin on her pretty pink lips. She wears a short skirt with a swirly pattern on it and a purple V-neck T-shirt. Her hair is cinched back in a ponytail and her wrist is adorned with her silver bracelets. She's so fucking hot and beautiful and bold. I glance around as if I'm looking for someone else. Then I stab my finger at my chest. You talking to me? I ask in my best movie gangster tone. Yeah, I'm talking to you with a nice ass. I give it right back to her. Turn around, let me see yours. She twirls once, then stops in front of me. Hey, Dr. McHottie, she says in a softer but still sexy voice. She rises on tiptoe and gives me a peck on the cheek and my heart races. Dumb organ. I need to remember that the heart's purpose is to pump blood, a body fluid that ferries nutrients and oxygen to cells. Its goal isn't to make me feel lightheaded and dopily dizzy around her. Even so, I clasp her jaw in my hand and kiss her hard on the lips. If she's going to drop little whispery kisses on my face in public, I'm going to claim her naughty mouth with mine. She moans lightly as I kiss her, and I swallow that sound. When I break the kiss, a soft sigh escapes her lips. As I catalog her ridiculously cute outfit, an abhorrent thought pops into my brain. Were you on a date after work? A tornado of jealousy sweeps through me, but I have no right to feel envious since she's not mine. I better revise my jackass tally since I clearly belong on it now. She shakes her head. No, I went to dinner with Lily. To a little sandwich shop on the east side, she says, as we walk through the New York night toward our building. How is she? Josie smiles. She's finally giving Rob the boot. I hate to say it, but I'm so glad. He was no good for her. She hooks her arm through mine, and I tamp down a smile because right now we seem like a hell of a lot more than two roomies heading home together. I flash back to Wyatt's comments about dates, to Josie's remarks about not dating, and to the gift certificate I shoved out of my mind all day. Is there any chance you'd want to take an enticing appetizers and alluring desserts class with me? My voice sounds dry as I ask the question, as if I've never asked a girl out before. As I wait, the thumping in my chest has the audacity to reappear. I hope she'll say yes. She quirks up one eyebrow. The sensual cooking class? I blink. That's what it is? I just thought it was a fun dessert class, and I know you like to try those out. She nods. I've heard it's amazing. Want to go? She nods eagerly. I'd love to. Guess that means I have a date with Josie now. There's a spring in my step as we reach the building, but I remind myself it's not a date. She's just a friend. She's just a girl I live with. When the elevator door closes, I'm ready to pounce on her, cage her in my arms, kiss the hell out of her. But a weather-worn woman with silver streaks in her hair follows us in, her husband behind her. I raise my chin, recognizing them as fellow residents in this building. Hey there, how's your evening? She tuts and shakes her head. It was a good one, until I checked the mailbox. She holds a stack of envelopes in her hand. I've always detested the mail. Bills, bills, bills. Her husband nods sagely. Mail can have a way of bringing you down, Josie chimes in. Unless someone sends cookies, money, or candy. The woman laughs. Now, that would be a good mail day. They exit on the fifth floor. When the elevator slows at our floor, I return to Josie's last text. What did you have in store for me tonight? A flirty look is her answer as she exits and leaves me with this enticing command. Come find me in 10 minutes and you'll see.
Chapter 25. A lustful kind of anticipation camps out in my body. This is the adult equivalent of waiting for Santa Claus. And I was one hell of a fan of the Jolly Man in Red. But right now, as I knock back a glass of scotch in the kitchen and check the time, I'm confident that whatever is waiting for me under the tree that is Josie's bedroom will be better than any bike, Star Wars toy, or game of Operation I've ever received. And I did love Operation. But I love sex way more. Let me amend that. I love sex with Josie way more than any gift. More than nearly anything. The sound of a slow, sexy song drifts through the apartment. I close my eyes, listening. It's low and seductive, and I can't make out the words from here, but I recognize an invitation when I hear one. I finish the amber liquid, set the glass on the counter, and follow the sound of the honey-voiced singer. Our place is small. It doesn't take me long to reach Josie's room. The music grows louder, sounds like one of those female crooners with voices that ooze sex appeal. The words and lyrics do the same, too. Joss Stone, maybe, singing about the higher you take her. The door is ajar. A sliver of light shines into the hall. I rap lightly. "Come in." Her voice is smoky, like this song. When I push open the door, all the breath rushes out of my lungs. "Jesus fucking Christ," I groan, as my cock thickens. Josie rests on top of the white covers, her brown and pink hair fanned out on a pillow. She wears pink lace panties and one of those bras that only cover half of her miraculous tits. Demi-something, I think it's called. Actually, I don't give a shit what her lingerie is named. I'm renaming this ensemble the most arousing thing a woman has ever worn. Though, what makes the sight such an immense turn-on is the location of Josie's hands. One cups her right breast, kneading. The other? Dear God in heaven. The other hand plays between her legs. Her busy fingers stroke the wet panel of her panties. My dirty reel has come to life. She meets my eyes, and the glint in them beckons me. I swallow dryly. My throat is parched, and I grab the tail of my shirt, tug it over my head, then unzip my jeans in a flash. I set a new record for undressing when my briefs come off a nanosecond later. "You," I rasp out as I get on the bed at her feet. "You're so fucking sexy, we're going to need a new word for it." She smiles at me, her finger rubbing the outline of her swollen clit. Breathily, she asks, "Is this the kind you like to watch?" I set my hands on her knees, opening her legs more as I stare at the gorgeous, erotic, beautiful sight in front of me. My girl in pink, her panties wet, touching herself because she can't help it. I shake my head. "I don't like this. I fucking love it, Josie." Kneeling, I take my throbbing cock in my hand, running my palm down the length. Her hips shoot up. "Oh God, that's so hot," she moans. "Yeah?" I do it again, stroking my dick as she watches me. "That's what I was picturing before you walked in." Her fingers move faster. I can't look away from her. Not that I would. I'm not insane. I am, however, insanely aroused because she's so fucking wet. She's become my greatest fantasy. "You jerking off on me," she says. Jesus Christ, I was wrong. This is greater than my hottest fantasy. Because she's not just getting off, she's getting off to me. "Take these off now." Reaching for her panties, I tug them down her hips, along her luscious thighs and over her ankles. Her fingers immediately return to her pussy, but I shake my head. "I want you naked. Bra too," I tell her. And as she unhooks it, I press my hands to her thighs and part her legs farther. My dick is so hard right now it's fucking aching for attention. But this, her bare pussy is the stuff dirty dreams are made of. She's slick and wet, and so wildly turned on by thoughts of me. I'm floored, fucking floored by the utter dirty perfection of this woman. Now that her glorious tits are freed and she's as naked as I am, I tip my chin in the direction of her pussy.
now resume doing the sexiest fucking thing I've ever seen. Her nimble fingers return to her wet center, and the second she touches herself, she moans. Lifting her hips, she seeks out her own pleasure. Her eyes float shut again as she strokes all that delicious wetness. "Oh, God," she murmurs, and that sound is like a bolt of heat straight to my dick. Wrapping a fist around my hard-on, I stroke. "This is how we were the other week," I say, as I move my hand up and down my erection, jerking off to each other. She opens her eyes, her green irises hazy with lust. "I thought about you so many times, Chase," she moans as she rubs her sweet little clit with abandon. "Did I make you come every time?" She nods as she rocks her hips. "Every time, all the time, you fucked me so many times." Her pace quickens, and her breathing turns erratic. "Josie," I say on an upstroke that sends a hot tremor through me, "fuck yourself with your fingers." Her eyes widen, and then her fingers get to work. She slides one inside her pussy, then another, all while she works the delicious rise of her clit with her thumb. And hell, if the sight in front of me isn't enough for me to come right now, I don't know what is. But I grit my teeth and call off the dogs because I'm not firing before she does. I need to watch every second of the hottest X-rated video I've ever seen. I won't miss a frame. Her other hand spears into her hair, and she turns her head to the side, her lips parting, her panting loud. Then it becomes a chorus of, "Oh God," and, "Oh God, I'm so close." And she fucks herself, with abandon, with intensity, with a wild need to come. I see it in her features, in the torment on her face as she nears the edge, in the mad speed of her fingers as she thrusts in and out, in her thumb as she strokes and strokes and strokes until she hits that high note. She calls out a last, "Oh God," and her hips rise up, and then she trembles. Like a full-body shudder, I swear I can see her orgasm move through her. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever witnessed, the way Josie comes. She doesn't hold back, not her mouth, not her body, nothing. "Oh my God, oh my God, fuck me." "I don't mind if I do,"